at this thought of meeting with God. I'm going to start off in Isaiah chapter number 64, and I'm going to read it, but we're going to be all over the place. I ain't going to lie to you. We're going to end up in Hebrews chapter number 10, and that's probably where we'll kind of hang out, is in Hebrews chapter number 10. But the thought and what got me on this was Isaiah chapter number 64. Isaiah chapter number 64, Isaiah is praying. We're familiar with Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse number, verse number 6. Most of you, you probably can't quote the verse, but you have definitely heard the verse. Well, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Miss Tracy, if you can help us out there in Isaiah chapter number 64. And we'll start reading in verse number 1, and remember that this is Isaiah praying. And Isaiah is praying for something specific here in chapter number 64. And this is what my prayer is for this week. And that is that God would meet with us. I need God. I need y'all to help me right here. I need God more than I need anything else in this world. Spiritually, you and I need God more than anything else in the world. Matter of fact, there's nothing else in the world that you and I need aside from God spiritually. But I mean, even in my physical life, in my relationships, in my occupation, in every aspect of my life, I need God. And a lot of times, how many of you know this? The reason that God doesn't necessarily meet with us is if none of His doing. I need somebody to help me. It's not of His doing. The fact that sometimes you and I feel that we are alone, the fact that you and I feel sometimes like we're all by ourselves, it ain't because God left us. It's because we have allowed things in our life to come in between us and God. We've allowed this world to come in between us and God. And so it's not that God's not willing to meet with us. It's that we're not ready for God to meet with us. And as much as I want God to meet with us this week, and I desire God's presence in my life and in this revival, I realize that there are some things that I have to take care of for that to happen. Now, this probably ain't going to be no shout out, or if you come in here for that, we're not going to have that tonight or this morning, all right? But I feel like, once again, going back to this thought, we have to prepare ourselves for a revival. We have to prepare ourselves to meet with God. You can go back in the Old Testament and you'll find when the tabernacle, the high priest, he better prepare himself to meet with God. He didn't just walk into the presence of God however he wanted to. He didn't even show up. I need somebody to say amen right here. And I ain't preaching against shorts, but the Bible says he had to have on the prayer breeches. That's what the Bible said. He didn't get to dress however he wanted to and show up in God's presence. He didn't get to act however he wanted to and show up in God's presence. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he had little bells around the bottom of his gown, robe. And from tradition, we're told that once them bells stopped ringing, they knew that that sucker was dead, and they pulled him out from underneath the veil. Because if you went in to God's presence and you wasn't ready, you'd die. Is everybody all right? The Bible tells us that there's certain times in the Bible that we can find where they opened up the Ark of the Covenant and they looked into the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant being a representation of the presence of God, and somebody looked, they opened up, took the mercy seat off and looked upon the law. Boom, they were dead. God killed them, struck them dead right there. We know of Uzzah. Yeah, many of y'all remember old Uzzah. Uzzah thought he was doing a good thing. The oxen stumbled. The ark trembled. He reached up to steady the ark, and he died. Why? Because we're dealing with a holy God. Amen. You don't come to God however you want to. Even if I need somebody to help me, even when it is with good intentions. Right? And so, Isaiah's praying. And he says this, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heaven, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, or as when the melting fire burneth, The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in is continuance, and we shall be saved. Now, let me just tell you what he's saying right there. That translation right there, what he's trying to say is, shall we be saved? He said, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. And in those is continuance. We've sinned and continued. And shall we be saved? Verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. Understand, an unclean thing couldn't come in the presence of God. Is everybody with me? Here it goes. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away. We have allowed our iniquities to drive us away from you. Y'all, is everybody hearing me? I want to preach this morning on meeting with God. I want to go back. Let me get my iPad. This will be a lot faster if I get my iPad. But I want to go through Scripture. I want to start off in the garden. I'm going to be quick, so y'all don't worry about it. But I want to start off in the Garden of Eden. There's something in the Garden of Eden that starts us in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter number 3 that goes through the entire Bible. There's a theme that I want us to understand. We're talking about meeting with God. We're talking about having a meeting this week, but more importantly, us as individuals meeting with God. Isaiah said that God meets with those that rejoice, that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. And the Bible says, what else did he say? And remember thy ways. He goes on to say that we are an unclean thing. We have failed and we are in continuance. We have sinned over and over again. So much so that our iniquities have driven us away. Now, God, you want to meet with us, and that's what I want to establish first, is that God absolutely does want to meet with us. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 3, we know that God created man in his own image. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in Genesis chapter number 1, let us make man in our image. The Trinity is found all the way in Genesis chapter number 1. We see God speaking and he says, let us, everybody say that with me, us make God in our, everybody say it with me, our, who's he talking to? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all right? We find the Trinity all the way back in the very first chapter of our Bible. God wanted to make man. He made man in his image. Then he said this about man. He created man with a body, soul, spirit. He created man as himself, all right? And the Bible says he said this about man. It is not good for him to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. It ain't good. Somebody needs to hear me. It is not good for man to be alone. God determined that based off of his own feelings. Are y'all hearing me right here? God created him as his own image. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created a woman. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. All right, we're going to need a little bit more from the men right there. This is your place to shine. God created a woman. I need somebody to say amen. Amen. Praise God. I got me one. I'm talking about cavemander. Is everybody all right? Club and all. I went after her 27 years ago. I made her say I do, and she's been happy ever since. Just ask me, all right? Now, but in Genesis chapter, so we understand God created a woman. He gave the man because it was not good for man to be alone. In Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8, the Bible says God created them. God placed them in the garden. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, what do we see? Now, listen, you got to listen to me. God desired, not only did God create man in his own image, and God said it's not good for man to be alone, but God shows us right here that he desired to walk with man. That's right. The Bible says that he showed up in the cool of the day, and he wanted to, hey, Adam, where art thou? Oh, is everybody all right? I want you to know right now this morning, whatever your name is, say your name right here on three. One, two, three. God said, hey, where art thou? Why? Because God wants to fellowship with you and I. God wants to walk with you and I. God created us to praise him. God created us to give him honor and glory. And God wants to share time with us. He shows that in his actions in the garden when he shows up to walk in the cool of the day. But just as with us, man sinned in the garden and was separated from God. No more do we hear about God walking with man in the garden. Is everybody with me? There was something that took place. Something came between man and God, and no longer did God walk with man. But God always desired to walk with man. Now, we find several instances of men that God walked with in the Bible. Enoch, the Bible said, he walked with God and was not. We find several instances of people in the Bible that was a friend of God, that spoke with God face to face, but overall, the fellowship between God and man was broken. But the desire of God never was. He wanted a relationship. So the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter number 25. In Exodus chapter number 25, it's a passage of scripture where God has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. He has delivered them across the Red Sea. They have been in the wilderness. They're traveling and they come to Mount Sinai. They get to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up, and he gets the Ten Commandments, and he is getting a pattern for what you and I know as the tabernacle. The tabernacle was given with the law. Why was the tabernacle given with the law? Because without God intervening for man, the law would kill man. And so God gave them the tabernacle, and he established his purpose for the tabernacle in Exodus chapter number 25 and in verse number 8. The Bible says this in Exodus 25 and in verse number 8, and let them, this is God speaking, this is God talking to Moses, and he says, and let them make me a sanctuary or a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. Them make me a tabernacle so that I can once again dwell with man as I did in the garden. Is everybody all right? That's Exodus chapter number 25. We've gone probably 400, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. We've gone a pretty good ways. I mean, Methuselah died at 969 years of age, and the flood came, and we done gone all. I mean, we're talking about man's been around for quite a while. And ain't had the kind of fellowship that Adam and Eve had with them, but God says, I still want to dwell with them. And so he hollers out his purpose right off the bat. He says, let them make me a sanctuary. And that is the place. That's where I'm going to dwell with man. Because his desire has always been to dwell with you. I think somebody, y'all got to help me. Y'all looking at me like a deer in the headlight. His desire has always been to dwell with you.
Amen.
Yes, he saved you. Praise the Lord for it. But his desire has always been to dwell with you. To live where you live. To walk where you walk. Is everybody all right? To do what you do. To go where you go. To hear what you hear. To see what you see. He's always wanted to dwell with us. Right? So, we had the tabernacle. For years we had the tabernacle, and David said, you know what? The tabernacle ain't good enough. Thank God I'm thankful for a tabernacle where we can meet, but God deserves better. God, why don't you let me build you a temple? God said, no, 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 David. You're too kind and too bloody. You killed too many people. David, sometimes, how many of y'all know Major Payne? One of my favorite movies, man. That stuff's good. He says, surely somebody needs some killing. The man says, no, you killed them all. That's what God did to David. No, you done killed everybody needs killing. You're going to have to let your son build this. And so the Bible says that God gave peace to Israel during the time of Solomon, and Solomon built God a temple. He built God a temple. 1 Kings chapter number 8. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go over there. I want to read you a couple of verses. The Bible says in verse number 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. That, by the way, was God's presence. Temple was built. It was anointed for God's use. It was consecrated for God's use, sanctified for God. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Solomon, he stood back. God showed up. Could you imagine building this great temple for God, and then all of a sudden you go through all the rituals of cleansing it, all the rituals of anointing it, sanctifying it, consecrating it to the Lord, and God shows up and fills the house. And Solomon sat back and said, this is good. God said he was going to meet with us in this dark cloud, in this thick cloud. This is God. And he said, I have built you a place where you can abide forever. God, you don't ever have to leave, man. You can stay right here. You can abide with us right here. But once again, Israel fails. We know after Solomon's reign that the nation is divided. It ends up in captivity. They end up coming back as a remnant. And we go all the way through the days of Jesus with the temple. And in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. The place that Solomon said, God, you can meet with us forever, right here, was destroyed. But what man didn't realize was there was another temple that had come on the scene. I need somebody to help me. There was another temple that came on the scene. He was born in a little manger. He was born in Bethlehem, and that temple, according to the Bible, his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. There was another temple. That temple shows up, and he walks among men. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, and in verse number 14, let me get over there. The Bible says, and the Word, that's a capital W by the way, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Word dwelt with us. God, once again, he shows up. Why? because he wanted to dwell with man. But of course, we know the life of Jesus. We know 3.5 years of service, 3.5 years of ministry, and all that he came to minister to, cried out, crucifying. The Bible tells us in one instant, I believe it's in John chapter number 6, that all the disciples left him because his sayings, his words were hard. Except for the 12. And one of them was deceiving everybody. One of them would betray. And because of the betrayal and because of the purpose and the plan of God, we find Jesus nailed to a cross, dying. The one that came to dwell among us. God himself, who came to dwell among us. We hung him on a cross and we killed him. So why you keep saying we? We did. It was our sins that killed him. It was our sins that placed him there. He was dying for us. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You'll not, there's not one of you, there's not one person in here that can come up here and tell me somebody else loves you more than God. That song says, it's been said a thousand different ways, but the cross says more than what could ever say. Nobody's ever shown you that kind of love. I don't care how good of a husband he is. I don't care how good of a wife she is. I don't care how good of a mom or a dad they were. Nobody has shown you that love to know everything about you, all the dark secrets, and yet lay down his life for you. Jesus came to dwell with man, and we hung him on a cross. God still wanted to dwell with man. God still wanted to dwell with man, and God knew that men would place his only begotten son on a cross. So he made a promise to man in John chapter number 14. Get over to John chapter number 14. In John chapter number 14 and verse number 16, the Bible said, let me get up to verse number 15. The Bible says, if you love me, this is Jesus talking, he says, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. God still wants to meet with man. We've taken it all the way from Genesis, all the way back in the garden, and we have seen a theme that's run all the way through the Bible. God still wants to meet with man. Amen. He has a desire to fellowship with us. He has a desire to walk with us. He has a desire to love us beyond the cross. So he provided the Holy Spirit. According to Paul, that Holy Spirit indwells us. I need somebody to say amen. Amen. That, oh, I'm liking it. I'm liking it because that means that God has done everything in his power to meet with me. The Bible tells us that you and I now have access to God through Jesus' death, which is over in Hebrews chapter number 10, where I told you we'd probably end up at some point. But in Hebrews chapter number 10, the Bible tells us that having therefore, brethren, verse number 19, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, we left out a little something here. All the way up to Jesus, man, God wanted to meet with man, but there was always a barrier. In the garden, there was no barrier, but sin became a barrier. In the tabernacle, the barrier was the veil. The veil remained. Even in the temple, there was a veil. That veil remained until Jesus died on that cross. And according to our writer right here, when Jesus died, you go over to Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 51, it said that when Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom, signifying that a new covenant had come. Access to God had taken place through the flesh of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can now directly before the throne of God. We now have access to God according to the Bible. But this is what got me. I'll go on with this thought, but in Revelation chapter number 21, and I'm not going to read it, but in verse 1 through 3, the writer of Revelation, who is John, who was given a revelation of Jesus, so he's writing what Jesus is showing him. He tells us that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and he's seen that new earth, that new Jerusalem coming from above, and he said this, it was a place where God would dwell with man and abide with man forever. So all the way back in the garden, God wanted to abide with us. God wanted to walk with us. God wanted to fellowship with us. All the way to Revelation chapter number 21, God's desire is still to dwell with man, to abide with man. But I want to go back to the veil being rent in the temple. I want to say this, that because of that, because of the verses I just read, we now have access. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We no longer have a barrier keeping us from God. I need somebody to say amen. According to Scripture, you and I no longer have a barrier, a veil keeping us from God. We have direct access to God, meaning that you and I can dwell with God, unrestrained, unrestricted, because Jesus died for us, right? This was the thought. I tell him, Brother Scott, man, I was thinking about all that, and I was thinking, you know, that veil's gone, Jesse. But you know what? There's a lot of us that put another veil up. And that's what we're going to preach this morning for about 2 minutes, if you'll let me. A lot of us put our own veil up. See, Jesus, the Bible says that he was that veil. His flesh was that veil. And he was torn apart for you and I on the cross. And through his flesh, you and I, through his death, through his blood, according to the Bible, have access to God. So there's nothing keeping us from dwelling with God. Absolutely nothing keeps us from dwelling with God. Except the veils you and I put up. See, he got rid of the only veil that could stop us. He got rid of that veil. But there's veils in our own life that you and I have. And me and Brother Scott come up with five of them. I preach them quickly because they make perfect sense and we all know it. So now it's not an issue of whether or not we know what to do, it's whether or not we're going to do it. It's not an issue of knowledge. It's an issue of wisdom. Knowledge knows what to do. Wisdom does it. Knowledge gives you the information. Wisdom reacts to it, responds to it. Is everybody with me? So let me give you some knowledge. And then you're going to have to, as James talked about, show some wisdom. So what are some veils, five veils, that block access to fellowship with God? Number one, our depravity, our sin, our depravity.
Right.
How many of you know, how many of you, according to the Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Psalm chapter number 66, I believe that's verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you realize that when you and I harbor sin in our life, that it breaks fellowship with God?
Right.
I'm going to need more than one. That's right. When you and I allow sin to get into our life, we allow sin to block fellowship with God. And what did God want to do? Come on, talk to me. He wants to walk with us. He wants to abide with us. And when you and I let sin unconfessed in our life linger around, it blocks us from fellowship with God. The one thing, God paid the ultimate price so that you and I could walk with him. And yet we allow ourselves to be separated from him because we would rather take pleasure in our sins than, as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So our depravity is one veil. Is everybody tired of that one? See, we could have an altar call right now, and I promise you 100%, 100%, let me say that again, 100% of the people that are in this auditorium ought to be on their face right now begging God for forgiveness, because there ain't a blessed one of us that have reached that level of Christian maturity that we don't have some sin somewhere. Say, preacher, I quit drinking. Well, bless your heart. If you wasn't so proud about it, you wouldn't have sinned. But you're close. Is everybody with me? I ain't going to go any further. I figured I had to pretty much slow down anybody's thinking on where their sin is. Because I don't think there's probably one of us in here that don't battle pride in some areas of our life. Our depravity. Number two, our desires. Do you know that our desires will put a veil up between us and God? See, the fact of the matter is no matter how hard we try, we still got that fleshly lust and fleshly desire. Seems like I remember them words. Boy, James has been good. Y'all ought to be here on Wednesday night.
Amen.
That lust of the flesh, every single one of us has it. We want to go out and get more and get more and get more. We'll walk away from God to do it. We'll walk away from His presence to go get and go chase after something that's going to burn up with the earth when it's all said and done. We'll go chase after something that we're going to leave to somebody else who's going to lose it because they didn't pay taxes on it. And we'll spend our whole life stepping on people, walking around people, ignoring our family, ignoring our wife, to grab hold of something that we want. And Christians do it all the time. I need somebody to help me. Well, preacher, I'd come to church tonight, but we got this going on. We've been in revival, but we already got this plan. No, y'all ain't got no plans. Yeah, is everybody all right? You ain't got no plans. You do what you want to do. You do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter what you got planned. If you want to do something, you will do it. If you want to do it, you will do it. Everything in the world can say no, but if you want to do it, that's what you're going to do. You want to go to a tree stand, you'll get out there and go to a tree stand. Don't matter what in the world is going on. Don't matter if it's raining, lightning's going off, popping off all around you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're going to get out of that tree. It doesn't matter if you want to go fishing, you go out there. You're loading the boat, putting the boat in the water, and then more water spouts all around you. Like, hey, if we cut through there, we'll be fine. Because when we want to do something, I need somebody to help me, we will do it. It's our own desires, and our desires take us away from God so much. If we got honest, come on now, if we got honest, our own desires put a veil between us and God. We chase after things that aren't holy. We chase after things that aren't spiritual. And then we wonder why our family's in a mess. Wonder why our kids don't want to come to church. Wonder why they trying to come up with every excuse to miss church and why they don't want to participate. I don't know why they don't want to participate with the young people and the youth groups and everything else, because their mom and daddy don't want to participate in the church. And the youngins, that junk is passed on to the youngins. I need somebody to say amen.
Amen.
I said this for the longest time. As the pastor of this church, I can tell whether or not you like me by your child. So you can quit all the lip service. And your kid acts like a little brat to the preacher,
that's right.
I know what mom and daddy's acting like at the house.
Right.
Amen. Somebody needed to hear that. Because you think you got me fooled. I ain't going to get them. We trying to get revival, not hurt somebody. Number one, our depravity. Throw up a veil. Number two, our desires. Throw up a veil. Number three, our doubt. Will throw up a veil. There's some people, man, they cannot get past the fact that God has forgiven them. They cannot get past the fact that even in their sins, when they cried out to God and repented, that God has forgiven them. And because of this overwhelming guilt, you know, I read something here not long ago, and it said this. It said guilt was the only thing that they couldn't fix in an individual. thing fix everything else. They got a solution for every other problem in man. But guilt, they cannot come up with a solution for it. They cannot tell man how to get over it, because guilt weighs on you and I. It stays with you and I, and it causes doubt with you and I when it comes to God. How many times have you prayed to God over one sin? Multiple times. When God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God ain't like your mama. He ain't like your daddy. He ain't like your husband. He ain't like your friend. He don't hold a grudge against you. When you turn and you get forgiveness through repentance, God wipes the slate clean. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. So far as He removed our iniquities and our transgressions. I need somebody to help. Our doubt. How about this one? Our deficiency. Our depravity. Our desires. Our doubt. But number four, our deficiency. Boy, we look at our life and we look back on our life and say, God don't want me. There ain't no way God will want me. God knows what. God does know what you did. God knows what. I need somebody to help me. God knows what He got when He purchased you. Oh, He ain't like some of us. Done went out to a yard sale, bought something, got home, realized it didn't work. God knew before He, I need somebody to help me. Hey, but commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew exactly what He was getting when He got you. He knew what you could do, what you can't do. And let me say this, He has gifted you to do things you can't even believe can be done. But our deficiency will keep us from fellowship with God. Well, I just can't do that, preacher. I'm not like so and so. I ain't overcome this in my life yet like so-and-so. Is everybody right? So-and-so a little bit farther along. But if you keep I need somebody to help me. You know why football teams practice? So they can get better. I remember, you can take me all the way back to when I was a kid, probably 6 years old. I started playing football. My uncle was a coach and did a great job. I started playing football at 6 years old. You take me at 6 years old and put me there next to the guy that was 18 years old playing football, and I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of progress made. A lot of practices. A lot of failures. A lot of pain. A lot of hurting. But that was a different football player at 18 years old than it was at 6. Everybody with me? Hang in there. You might not be where somebody else is, but you ain't where they at in life either. Hang with it. And lastly, and I'm done, our duties. Our duties. Yeah. We get so busy that we ain't got time for God. We get so busy. This is Brother Scott's, and it was probably the best one of the whole thing. We get so busy that we don't have time for God. Well, preacher, I got this going on this week, and I got this. I want revival, but I ain't going to be able to be here Monday night or Tuesday night. Yeah, we can't miss. If we miss, our kid might not even, he might not get to start next week. Bless his heart. Everybody all right? Preacher, we'd be here. I know, boy, I got some mamas looking at me mean right now. Boy, you better get off of that. Don't be talking about my youngin' in practice. We have determined that baseball is the most important thing in our entire life. Is everybody all right? Preacher, I don't know why my youngin' won't come to church. I've been begging him to come to church. Why? Because you let everything else be a priority in their life. You let it be a priority. You allowed the duties of life to separate you from what all God wants to do is abide with you. Do you understand that? That's all God wants to do. He told us all the way back in the garden, I want to dwell with you. I want to walk with you. He takes it all the way through the Word of God to Revelation and says, I want to walk with you. Over and over, he made provisions so that he could walk with you. And yet, when he rents the veil and gives us complete access to him, I ain't ready for that yet. Miss Cece, I need that. You're just going to have to be cold.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Bless it. I won't rent it. I won't rent it. God said, I've rent the veil. And we say, I'm not ready yet. I'll get there, but I'm not ready yet. I know you've given me access, but this is my veil. Woo! I need somebody to hear me. This ain't God's veil. This is my veil. God, I know you want to dwell with me, but I don't want to dwell with you right now. God, I know you give me access, but I ain't ready to give you access. You want revival this week? Come rent the veil. She's going to the piano. We're done. Come get rid of the veil. What is it? Maybe you called it Isaac. I called it a veil. What is it? Come get rid of it. God wants to meet with you. God desires to dwell with you. That's all God wanted from creation, was to dwell with you, to meet with you. It's God's desire. He's rent the veil. He's made way. He's made access. He's given us access. But yet we have put up a veil and said, no, not ready for that. Not ready for that. I'm not ready to give you access. I'm not ready to allow you into my life that far. You come some, but not too far. With heads bowed this morning, I wonder how many would be honest with the preacher. All across the building. Say, preacher. Heads bowed with me. Nobody's looking around. Preacher, I have put up a veil in my life at some point. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody, I see everybody raising their hand. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you see us. Lord, every single person, I've seen most everybody in here raise their hand. Lord, at some point in our life, maybe even right now, Lord, we have a veil that's blocking our access from you, blocking your access from us or to us. Lord, I pray for every person to raise their hand. Every person that acknowledged that they have an issue, a veil. God, I pray today, Lord, you'd remove that veil. God, I pray today, Lord, that they would remove that veil. Lord, give you access. Lord, that they may be restored unto the joy of thy salvation. Maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed, somebody be honest with the preacher and say, preacher, if I was to die this morning sitting where I'm sitting, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. That veil was rent. But preacher, I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if I was to die right now, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I do not know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Preacher, I do not know. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand up where I can see it. Just lift your hand up, right? I ain't going to come to you or embarrass you, preacher. Pray for me. I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody like that? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you've been so good to us this morning. God, I've enjoyed every moment, Lord, from Sunday school, Lord, to the 11 o'clock hour. God, you have met with us this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for people that want to meet with you. God, to have a desire, Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, to gather together, Lord, not for a social club, but gather together, Lord, in your name. Lord, that they may see you manifest yourself in such a way, as the word says, and meet with us. Walk among us. Lord, I pray this week, Lord, that we prepared our hearts already this morning. God, I pray that veils have been rent, access has been given to you. And Lord, I pray today that this week you'd do something special in all of our lives. God, you'd begin a work in us. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd renew a right spirit in our staff. I pray that you'd renew a right spirit in our leadership and our Sunday school teachers and our trustees, Lord, in the leadership of this church. Renew, Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. God, I pray that you'd restore in us the joy of salvation. Lord, that others through us may experience, Lord, revival. Lord, revival begins in me as an individual. Lord, let us all take on that responsibility to get ourselves where we need to be. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, all the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.